Hey everyone, and welcome back. For those of you who haven't seen our podcast before, or listened to it rather, my name is Christy and I'm a dermatologist in Northern Kentucky, and I'm very passionate about educating you about how to optimize your health, including your skin health. So today we're going to talk about sunscreens. There's so many different sunscreens out there, and the question is always, well, which do I choose? In general, we are going to want to choose a sunscreen that's broad spectrum, meaning it blocks both UVA, which is responsible for causing skin aging and skin cancer, and UVB, which causes sunburn and skin cancer, and one that is also water resistant, so of course it stays on our body when we're in the water and also when we're sweating. So in choosing, we also need to pay attention to the active ingredient in the sunscreen, meaning what's actually protecting our skin from the sun, because this is going to help us choose the safest products, not just for our skin's health, but also for our body's health, our reproductive health, and for our environmental health too. So what do I mean by this? Well, it turns out that not all sunscreen ingredients have actually been proven safe to use on the skin. I think that's wild, but it's true. So they're not all proven to be safe. The FDA does regulate sunscreens, and in fact, they've got three different categories to classify sunscreen ingredient safety called GRACE, or generally recognized as safe and effective. That's what that stands for. So category one sunscreens are those that have been demonstrated to be safe. Category two sunscreens are those for which the risks outweigh the benefit and that are now no longer on the market. And then category three sunscreens are those for which the data is still kind of in question and additional studies need to be performed in order for them to really be deemed safe. So the question of safety even comes into play here, even though we're applying these things just topically, because it turns out that depending on the sunscreen ingredient, it may or may not be absorbed by our skin. And if it's absorbed, it could potentially affect our bodies and even our reproductive health. So let's turn to which ones are safe. So interestingly, only two of them fall into category one, meaning that they have been shown to be safe for use on the skin, including with repeated application every 2 hours, as is recommended with sunscreens. And the only two that are category one are what are called physical blockers, or the mineral sunscreens, so specifically zinc oxide and titanium dioxide. We're going to talk more about the sunscreens that are in question, i.e. the category three sunscreens, in a future podcast, but for now, please realize that most of the sunscreen ingredients out there are category three, and they unfortunately are found in very popular sunscreens, including Supergoop and even some makeups as well, including tinted moisturizers and foundations. So these in general are what are called the chemical sunscreens. And again, we're going to talk about that more in a future podcast. For now, let's go ahead and talk more about what is safe so that we can feel comfortable with using them. So let's start with the basics. So zinc oxide and titanium dioxide are physical blockers, meaning that when the sun's rays hit them, the sun rays bounce off, okay? So they're literally physically blocking our skin from absorbing the sun's rays. Both of these agents are going to provide broad spectrum coverage, meaning they're going to block UVB. They also block both types of UVA, and they even to some degree block visible light. And the reason why we care about that is because visible light, even like, you know, when you're in a room or when you're looking at a computer, it actually can darken the skin in areas where you already have pre-existing dark spots. So like, for example, if you had melasma or like a dark spot after you had an acne bump, that can get darker from visible light. And so these sunscreens would even help protect you from some of that. Okay, so though they work so well, a lot of people choose sunscreens that are not containing zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, because honestly, the biggest complaint I hear about sunscreen is that people don't like how it feels thick and leaves a white sheen on the skin. Both of these ingredients do that. More cosmetically elegant versions are in existence though, so these are called micronized zinc oxide and titanium dioxide, and they're less likely to make you look white after application. The thing with the micronized versions though are that they actually have decreased protection against UVA. So again, the type of UV that's going to be getting skin aging and also skin cancer. And there's also decreased protection against visible light. We also need to consider other potential concerns with the fact that there are nanoparticles, and that's going to be a point of discussion in an additional podcast as well. So this is going to be a multiple series conversation about sunscreen. just to highlight the different data that's out there. So for now, let's talk more about both of these ingredients in more detail, including the evidence that shows that they're safe. Please note that a lot of this comes from the FDA monograph, which is specifically outlining the data that's in existence and the reason why they categorize them as GRACE Category 1. Okay, so now we're gonna start by turning to zinc oxide. So zinc oxide is an organic mineral compound, so it's commonly used in sunscreens, but you guys have probably seen it elsewhere too. So it's in sunscreen ointments frequently, paste and lotions. So for those of you with kids or those of you who work in like a daycare setting, I'm sure you've seen this when you're looking at diaper ointments. So like the maximum strength Desitin paste, for example, contains zinc oxide up to 40%. And that's because of its ability to provide an effective barrier. But they're also used in these other ointments because they may have antiseptic and antistringent properties too. So concentrations up to 25% have been deemed GRACE level 1 by the FDA for sunscreen use. Interestingly, both zinc and oxygen are naturally occurring elements in the body. I'm sure the bit about oxygen doesn't surprise any of you, but perhaps the bit about zinc does. So it turns out that zinc is the 14th most common element in the body, and it's a necessary cofactor for a lot of enzymes. So a cofactor is basically a helper for an enzyme to function in any sort of like reaction or to carry out a key process in the body. And so things that it's used for include making proteins with DNA, with healing wounds, and also even just supporting a healthy immune system. In our day-to-day, we also eat zinc, if you can believe that. So we regularly eat up to about 15 milligrams of zinc in foods like beans, cereal, dairy, meat, and then for those of you who like them, even oysters. It's not a food that I commonly eat myself, but apparently they contain a lot of zinc. So when used topically, zinc oxide is actually not absorbed. It's insoluble in water, and in general, it remains confined to the very top layers of the skin, and that's called the stratum corneum. So the stratum corneum is a skin layer that is basically comprised of dead skin cells, so they no longer even have their nuclei, for those of you who remember about nuclei from biology class. There's multiple studies, so there's at least 4 that demonstrate that zinc oxide absorption is limited. So again, it's not getting through the skin. At most, it gets to a few cell layers deep. And this is really found predominantly in if you have like wrinkles or skin folds. But again, otherwise it's still confined to the epidermis, which is the top layer of the skin. These studies looked at the location of zinc oxide with imaging, something called multiphoton tomography. Just as a quick aside here, please note that our blood vessels don't penetrate the epidermis, which is again the top layer of the skin. And so the lack of transdermal absorption here is super important. It means that when used topically, zinc oxide should not cause systemic side effects. There are additional studies looking at whether nanoscale zinc oxide can be absorbed, and those looked at isotope tracing. They showed a very minimal amount was absorbed. However, the level was less than how much we consume in our normal diet. There are additional studies that specifically looked at zinc oxide in the form of medical paste, and the goal of these was actually to look to see what happens if we're applying it in the maximum level. So these are 25% strength, and they were putting it on at the arms of healthy volunteers to see what happens, because again, this would maximize absorption with the higher percentage, and they wanted to see also, did the skin tolerate it? Turns out that application was very well tolerated, so no one really developed allergy or photoallergy, which is basically like the sun can hit the ingredient and cause an allergic reaction. There was no irritation and no photo irritation. If you Google zinc oxide and hypersensitivity reactions, like I did earlier, you're gonna actually find a couple of case reports or people reporting that they do react to zinc oxide, which becomes very confusing, right? But the FDA points out in their monograph that in general, when people are complaining of hypersensitivity reactions, they're usually in sunscreens that contain more than one active ingredient. So it's really difficult to conclusively say that it was specifically a result of the zinc oxide. But again, the other two studies that were looking at what happens when they were using medical paste up to 25% strength did not show any issues in terms of tolerability. Interestingly, there's not really any studies looking at carcinogenicity or whether or not zinc oxide causes cancer. The FDA actually says that they don't think this is necessary, just again, because zinc oxide is not getting absorbed across the skin, and so the likelihood that it could cause cancer is exceptionally low. So in sum, we all have both zinc and oxygen in our bodies, and we eat zinc every day. Topically, zinc oxide is safe for use in sunscreen with concentrations up to 25%, even when nanoparticle, per the FDA, with transdermal absorption unlikely given that it's water insoluble. Because of this, systemic side effects are unlikely, but even if a small amount were to be absorbed, it's less than what we eat on a day-to-day basis, and the dissociation results in two elements naturally found in and necessary for our body. Topically, zinc oxide is well tolerated with low risk of causing allergy, sun-induced allergy, irritation, or photoirritation. All right, well next we're gonna move on to titanium dioxide. So again, this is the second sunscreen ingredient that is deemed to be GRACE level 1 or generally recognized as safe and effective. And titanium dioxide is also an inorganic mineral, just like zinc oxide. It's not one of the most common elements in our body, that being zinc, but it's interestingly used as an excipient in a number of medications, including oral, topical, and inhaled products, including some toothpaste. And it's also commonly used in metal implants. So let's say like you had a knee replacement, for example. And this is because when it's found in the body, titanium dioxide is generally thought to be unreactive and does not tend to dissociate into titanium and oxygen. So just like zinc oxide, there are studies that look at whether or not our titanium dioxide is transdermally absorbed. And fortunately, it's not, regardless of the particle size. So even with the nanoparticle sunscreens, it's basically not thought to be absorbed across the skin stratum corneum, or really especially not across the epidermis. So again, this is really important because if it's not getting transdermally absorbed, the likelihood that it's gonna cause systemic side effects is exceptionally low. So just like zinc oxide, titanium dioxide is overall well tolerated. Looking at the different studies that exist out there, it does not tend to cause allergic reactions or photoallergic reactions or irritation. So in general, zinc oxide and titanium dioxide are both very safe choices. In our next podcast, we're going to talk a lot about nanoparticles, okay? And so what it means for both zinc oxide and titanium dioxide to be micronized. At this point, the FDA does actually categorize the micronized version as generally recognized as safe and effective category 1 or GRACE level 1. But we're going to get a little bit more into detail about the data that's out there. For now, I would say this. If you're choosing a sunscreen, from what I've read, the safest sunscreens are going to be those that are going to leave a white sheen. Those are not micronized. So you want to choose one with either zinc oxide or titanium dioxide in concentrations up to 25%. And you should choose the ones that are going to make you white. Okay. It's going to give you broad spectrum coverage. They're going to be water resistant in general, depending on how they're formulated. And they're even going to potentially help protect against visible light. I personally feel the safest choosing those because I don't want things to be absorbed across my skin and potentially affect my health in other ways.
Too close. Say good morning.
Good morning.